welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio. The only place you can hear us is live on Spreaker. Is blah blah blah. Let me rewind that. The only place that you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. But we get back to basics. We take a look at the Word of God. We examine the efforts of the Book of Acts Church. And in the midst of that, we find the church that the Lord wanted, not the one that man-made tradition created. We're here to restore the priesthood of the believer and that world-shaking influence that the Book of Acts Church had. Church age is still in effect, folks. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, visit the site. Use the contact button, or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com. You can also support us there. Also, our Blog Talk listeners, we are still with you after 7-plus years. We archive there. We don't broadcast live, but we still appreciate you, and we want to keep you involved. iTunes, and also our iHeartRadio listeners. Blog Talk, 7 years worth of archives. If you want to listen, you want to see how we've grown, what we've taught on, that's the place to do it. We're also on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you go to firefalltalkradio.com, all of the buttons should be at the top there, and that's how you find us. Sunday night, Reflections in the Dark, 7 p.m. We are closing out our 7th annual Occultoberfest, where we expose Halloween. If you missed the free ebook of The Supernatural Battle on Amazon, just write me and let me know. If you can't afford the $4.99 for the ebook, I will gladly give it to you. As far as the hard copy, unfortunately, I have to pay the shipping to get that there. If you go to supernaturalresponse.net, there's a link for you to do that. I've been working on the updated version, getting down to the final chapters. It is becoming a textbook-sized book, so I either have to pray about editing it down or leaving it as it is and turning it into a teaching guide. If you have any input there, let me know. You know, folks, there's a lot going on in the world, and there are people that need prayer, and there are people that don't get prayer. One of the things that I teach in The Supernatural Battle is my daily prayer life, not that it to use it as an example, just to say, hey, this is what I do, maybe it'll work for you. You can find your own way. But the one thing I've always done is followed Scripture. I pray for the fatherless and the widow. I pray for the innocents, the martyrs, and those that are victims of injustice. Now I add to it that I pray that every hidden thing be revealed in the corruption that we're seeing. There's a lot of injustice going on. The enemy is seemingly running amok without any resistance. So I just pray for the light to shine on them. No matter what is exposed or who gets exposed, it's got to happen. Let's bring it all out into the light. And in the process, some of those victims of injustice and some of the innocents will receive healing and help. You know, I praise the Lord for my home. I praise Him for my wife, for my family, for my pets, the furry kids, everything He's given us. I have nothing without Him, not anything I just mentioned. I don't have a home. I don't have a wife. I don't have family. I don't have furry kids. I have nothing without Him, because without my salvation, I wouldn't be sitting here. So I praise Him for that. I praise Him for His protection in times of stress and trouble and calamity. I praise Him for this ministry. I praise Him for all of you. Those of you that I know by name, I pray for. Those that I don't, I just talk about the porch community. I praise Him for favor and provisions for the dreams and the visions. You know, we shouldn't just pray for what we want. We should praise Him before we even get it. So I praise Him for His healing virtues, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that His healing ability is still there. And I praise Him for living in a country that allows me to sit here and do this with you. But I praise him and pray even more for the coming kingdom in the New Jerusalem. And my prayer is for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me and my wife, my family, and all of you that need it. Let's get back to our divine design. As I've expanded this book, he's been showing me more things that are just astounding that I look forward to getting back out there and doing another seminar to share some of these things and how it applies to us spiritually. I pray for all of you that are sick, hurting, you need a touch. I believe that he can still do it. Do you? I pray for protection for all of us. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. How we respond to it determines our witness. I pray for inspiration. I pray for the remnant to wake up. Got to wake up. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. The king is coming. We need to get to work. We need to answer the call to action. We need to answer the battle cry. And I pray that those that have been blessed with this world's goods would bless those of us that want to serve him and be a blessing to others, because it's a trickle down. I was telling the Lord today, I've been praying for a specific amount for everything he has shown me to do. And I know he knows these things, but I just like to tell him anyway about what I would do with those things. There's so many people that just need somebody to show up and spend some time with them and pray with them and love on them in the name of the Lord. I've continued unspoken prayer of favor and divine resolution in a matter. I'm praying for additional aerial support, as we call it, for SRT, for those that are associated with us or been affiliated or supporting us in prayer, for people that worked on the documentaries, those that helped fund it. I spoke to somebody today. I'll even tell you who he is. I mentioned him in my book. He's my spiritual father and pastor. He still is my pastor. I don't say former pastor, though he's not doing it officially. He is my covering. He's who I go to, Pastor Shelley. You know, apparently, since I took on the commitment to do the documentary, the enemy took on making him a focus of their attacks. And we spent a really great time in prayer and praise, and God revealed some things. It was a wonderful day that triggered me spending the entire day in praise and worship, which leads me into my final prayer about the final months of the year. Mission 2017 will become Mission 2018. And I want to finish it on a high note. I want to finish it moving into the new year with the team that's supposed to be in place, with the support, with the battle plan and the directions. I ask you to pray for that. Let's destroy the enemy together. Let's get the people saved, healed, and delivered. Let's get mobile. Let's spiritually bring the fire of the upper room in Mount Carmel and set this country and this world ablaze. Kate in Pennsylvania, she writes, and I will read it because she wrote it. She says, I praise God for you. Your preaching is second to none. I'm so grateful for your anointing, wisdom, and encouragement. Thank you, Kate. I get very uncomfortable with that, but it's all him, so he gets all the glory. I praise God for my husband and son. They bless me and humble me daily. She asked, please pray for my son's name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray for his protection during this dark Halloween season. She's asking for prayer for Stacy and Kim and their families, prayer for protection and encouragement for me and my family, Richard and his family. Pray for the salvation of Kate's family. Folks, we should be doing that anyway. When you pray for somebody, if that is not first and foremost on your mind, you've not been listening. Nothing else matters if they don't get saved. She said, please pray for me as I'm considering several job offers. Today I had an interview for the job that I want. She's asking for favor in God's will to be apparent as we make some big decisions. Stacy in Fort Mitchell. She says, we drove 2.5 hours to get an appointment and the VA never sent the authorization. But instead of turning them away, I have a praise report. Something pretty amazing happened, regardless of the bureaucracy and the red tape coming from the VA. The doctor did my procedure anyway. And if that wasn't enough, he said he did residency with the VA, and he's seen how it goes behind the scenes. He took the time to call the VA and got a verbal okay from the doctor there. That's God's favor, and that's just his way of saying, trust me, I got this. Kim in Fort Mitchell, good morning. I hope all is well over there in Orlando. Well, it was well till it got cooler this morning. It's going to be 50 tomorrow morning. I'm going to have to not put on shorts and put on long pants, but it's okay. Says the baby, London and I are recovering from this sinus infection and grateful to be saved and sober. I praise him for my family, my home, the fellowship of the Porch community. I praise him for our relationship and for his love and for teaching me how to be the woman he created. I praise him for my husband, my mother, my friend Stacy, and my dog Bruno. The cold weather seems to be better for my feet. I still need continued prayers for complete healing and for my body from this infection and to flush out the chemicals from the pills that I'm taking. Asking prayers for her son Maurice. His dad took him to get a simple sports physical test last week. He complained of feeling dizzy sometimes. Now they have a referral to see a cardiologist. The concern there might be something wrong with his heart, but she believes there's nothing wrong with his heart in Jesus' name, and she decrees and declares this. I don't think there is either, Kim. I prayed about it after you sent it. I don't get that at all. Said, God is putting something on my heart that I keep thinking about. I don't know what to do with this yet, but I will soon. And it's the aspect of pedophilia and abortion. If you listen to the show Saturday night, we talked about occult occurrences. We talked about things that represent, I believe, Halloween in the real world. And we talked about the whole pedophilia scandal coming out of Hollywood. And there's a free documentary called Open Secret. It's just free for now. They've been shut out of distribution in the film festivals. If you go to the SRT's Facebook page, the link is there. Apparently she watched it and was extremely upset by it. So she's asking about prayer in regard to what she should do. She said, any crime against children makes my blood boil. Amen. She said, please make this stop in Yeshua's name. And then she finally concluded it with, I'm praying for this preschool, I mean our country, and our leaders to act like adults. I see nothing but ego and pride when I turn on the news. Father, I'm praying for the people to get saved. I'm praying for protection over my family from the enemy, healing and forgiveness for a financial blessing, and Jesus to come back soon, and the strength and the patience until he does. That's some good prayers there, Kim. Father, we love you. I'm not going to start anything unless I tell you how much we love you, how awesome you are. You are an awesome God. But we come to you now as your children. We boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. And we just want to be in your presence. We know the day will come when we will live that way eternally. But until then, we do it long distance through the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We want to bask in your glory. We want to walk in victory. We want to make you proud and be about your business. So we ask that you touch us, each and every one of us listening right now. Meet us at our need. I just sense in my spirit, some just need to know you as Daddy, as Abba. I pray for the walls to come down, the wounds to be healed, and the fear to be gone, and that they would allow you into their heart and trust you. I thank you for sending Yeshua, that he would endure the cross and pay our debt so that we could be restored and reconciled to you. I thank you that the tomb is empty. I thank you that the fire fell when he sat down at your right hand. I thank you that we have the opportunity to come to you and to believe and to pray and to reach out to others that are hurting. Bless this time. Clear our minds. Make us ready to prepare, Lord. Make us a sanctuary of your living Holy Spirit. I don't want to say revive us, Lord. Yes, we are dead, but I want to be resurrected. I want to see the church of the living God, the book of Acts church from the day of Pentecost, resurrected. I want to shake this world in your name. I want to stand toe-to-toe with the enemy as I've done for 29 years, but I want to roll right over the top of them and clear them out of the way to make straight and clear the highway for the return of the King. Give us the opportunity to get this message out there. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to shine your glory, to set the captives free, and to preach the gospel, the good news. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Well, if you've been listening, and I hope you have been, we've been talking about a time of chaos. It was inspired by a word the Lord gave me in 2015 and then confirmed not too long ago that chaos was here. So I began to research it, and I've shared most of that research with you over 3 weeks. As a quick recap, chaos is not natural. It's caused by something, and it requires intervention, divine intervention, to bring it to order, which means chaos is not of God. And the confusion that comes from chaos is not of God. See, God is a God of order and decency. So wherever chaos and confusion is, he's not there. I told you the stories about when he stilled the waves and the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And so that's the title of this study, if you will, and may become a sermon. I don't know. It's been an interesting day of prayer and praise and being in his presence and listening. I wasn't even sure I was going to teach. I thought I might just speak from the heart. I still might. I don't know. But we need peace. We need his peace. And we need, or we should want, to counteract the enemy's confusion and the disorder and the perversion of God's ways. You see, to pervert something means to bring confusion into something. But Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 say this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua." Will guard your hearts and minds. That's a protective measure. That's a proactive move against the enemy to protect your heart and your mind. It creates a garrison. It sets up a sentinel that stops their attack. The Amplified version of that says, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, which are definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, his shalom, shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Messiah. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot or whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding, it's beyond natural understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Messiah Yeshua." Anxiety is not of God. It is fleshly, it's of the world, and that means it's from the enemy. When we get our minds, Kim kind of mentioned it at the end there, when we get our mind on our thoughts and then our heart on what the enemy is doing, especially to innocent children, I get upset about that, as she does. I get upset about what people are doing to animals. And it brings out a side of me. I have to push back the old Richard, the Richard that would be a bully to bullies, the Richard that would stride into those situations, regardless of the danger, and stand up to deal with it. I can't tell you how many times, and my wife could, that without even thinking about the danger, knowing it was the right thing to do, I would confront people in those situations. Not everybody likes that. Unfortunately, it has to be done, folks. And we can do it in prayer. We can do it through the gifts of the Spirit. We can do it through the fruit of the Spirit, but we must do it. You see, when we become carnally minded, when we become fixated on the world and the things of the world, it's death. It's destruction to us. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is shalom. Peace in the Greek is irene. It means quietness. It means rest. And in the busyness and the static of this world, which is at times supernatural, His peace must then be supernatural. A peace that absolutely makes no sense. And what it does, it creates a guard over your heart and your mind. It stands guard over your heart and your mind. So conversely, if you don't have that, your mind and your heart will be under attack. So when you go back and you look at Matthew 8 and Matthew 4, when they're in the boat and the waves are crashing and this demonic storm hits them on the lake and Yeshua is asleep. And there, you know, in the Matthew 8 version, it's Lord, save us, we're going to drown. In Mark 4, it's teacher, Rabbi, don't you care we're going to drown? You know, first time I read that as a baby Christian, I was like, what? Did you actually say that? Did you actually ask him if he cared? But fear does that. Anxiety does that. When those storms are coming and you think you're about to die and you know there's something not natural about this situation, it's very easy to become that fearful that you forget who he is. And so what does he do? He just wakes up and says, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And he rebukes the winds and the waves and the calm. And the Mark version is he says, peace, silence, be still. But the question still is, do you still have no faith? Have you not seen everything I've done? Have you not experienced all the miracles? Well, I know, I've been there. He's done great things for me. He's restored my family. He's restored my soul. He's bestowed his gifts upon me. I've done amazing things, that some of which I forgot about, that I'm being reminded of as I rewrite this book, that I've done in his name. And yet, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the barrage where it's coming from every direction, you begin to wonder, Lord, don't you care? Of course he cares. In the midst of the storm, the disciples were responding to what was going on around them instead of focusing on who was in the boat with them. He is our peace in the storm of this world. So right now, whatever you're going through, whatever waves are crashing, however you're feeling, I have a question. Who's in the boat with you? He, even though he was asleep in that boat, that was his earthly body just needing a rest. He'd been preaching and teaching all day. But the king that sits on the throne, just like his father, never sleeps and never slumbers. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That was Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. He's in a constant state of watchfulness over you and over what the enemy is doing. And the language of confidence in Psalm 121 was the psalmist's trust in the living God as his protector. Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. But the amazing thing about this is those two psalms, verse 8 of Psalm 4 and verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 121, is based on an external manifestation of peace. Something changed after Calvary. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, it went from being an external manifestation of peace to an internal manifestation of peace. The kingdom of God is not external things like food, but is the spiritual, supernatural reality of righteousness and action and thought, peace that brings and seeks harmony, and the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we understand the spiritual realities of kingdom living, in the kingdom of God, we will not choose brief joy to satisfy our fleshly desires. No, at least I believe we should pick the supernatural spiritual joy. It comes from helping others. That comes from seeking Him. That comes from seeking the kingdom of God. So this peace that says, peace, be still, this peace in the chaos, this peace that I need, that you need, that all of us are dealing with right now is internal through our relationship with Messiah. Because wherever we are, He is with us. So I don't know how you answer that question about who's in the boat with you. You may not think He's there because you think He's asleep, but the fact is, if you're born again, then His Spirit is in you. He is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If you're not feeling that, then there's the issue. There's the problem. John 14, verses 23 through 27. And it just dawned on me. I didn't do the thing about open your Bibles, open your digital apps, whatever it is you're using. If I have to tell you that by now, I'm doing something wrong. If you don't have a tangible Bible in your hand and you want one, let me know. I will get you one if you can't afford it. Yeshua said, these red letter basics, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I wonder if that moment as he said that, they were remembering the time on the lake. The New Living Translation of verse 26 is when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. The Amplified of verse 27 of the New Living is, I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. If you really want to break it down, we'll go to the Amplified. And I really felt the need to. But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I've told you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. See, that peace, that supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, is his. It comes from him. It's what allowed him to walk the Via della Rosa to the cross. It's what allowed him to endure the scourging. It's what allowed him to be nailed to the cross. It's a supernatural peace from the throne room itself. That's why we shouldn't be fearful or intimidated or cowardly or unsettled. I can't explain to you how I do what I do for the kingdom, except to tell you this: I have no fear of anything I stand in front of, and I don't care who or what it is. It can be Hasatan, it can be Satan himself. I am not afraid, because the spirit that's inside of me, the spirit that raised Yeshua from the dead, is the same spirit he used to speak Satan, the adversary, into existence. I know who my daddy is. I know that the peace that I feel inside my inner man is coming from him. John 16:33 goes on, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Whew, that's good stuff. John 16:33, the Amplified. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. I was reading that and working on that today. I didn't want to be sitting here in this studio. I wanted to be out on the battlefield. I wanted to be out on the road. I wanted to be setting the captives free. I wanted to be laying hands on the sick and they would recover. I wanted to be preaching the gospel and setting the captives free. I wanted to be praying the prayer of salvation with people. That courage, that confidence, that sense of victory has to be acted upon. Folks, we have put our spiritual butts, I'm just going to call it what it is, we have put our butts in the pew and in our homes for too long. I think it's great to have a home and a pew. But in my mindset, I'd rather it be empty. I'd rather us be out there doing something. I'd rather be visiting somebody in a hospital and watching them get healed. I'd rather be counseling a married couple and stopping divorce. I'd rather be doing everything possible to destroy the works of the enemy and sticking my finger, maybe literally, but mostly figuratively, in the enemy's eye. Maybe that doesn't resonate with you. Maybe you're just happy the way it is. This I didn't know if I was going to talk about it, but I just felt the release. Part of this lesson has been inspired by something I saw yesterday. Somebody I know who's a prayer warrior for me and my family sent me some music to encourage me. It was on YouTube, so I watched the videos. And the music was good, and I was edified. But then I caught something. It was praise and worship events with some well-known people in the Christian world. And I noticed the tens of thousands of youth and young adults praising and leaping and dancing before the Lord and saying his name. And there were three of them, three different cities, just by coincidence. And I calculated the people in that audience, it couldn't be the same people, so they were all different, except for the artist. I don't know, maybe 30, 40,000 people. And I wondered, why aren't they changing their community? Why aren't they taking this and going out into the world? Why isn't that moving them to do something? And there's a lot of reasons for that, but it inspired me to want to talk to you about this. I'm frustrated on a lot of levels. I'm measuring my words here, so forgive me if there's some long pauses. I'm putting it through the filter of the Holy Spirit. If this were live television, it'd be a delay so that he could either bleep me or just turn off the sound. The world is dying, and we're playing church. And I think what offended me most in one of the videos is as the high point of praise, all of a sudden the strobe lights and the smoke and all the typical rock concert stuff happened. And I was thinking, I don't need that. He doesn't need that. Why do we think that the ways of the world should be our ways? They're not. You see, you and I are of God. We're his little children. And we have overcome the world because he who is in us is greater than he who's in the world. You see, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. I don't need the ways of the world to motivate me. I don't need the things of the fallen to motivate me. I am motivated by the fact that the cross is bare, the tomb is empty, Yeshua is alive, he sits at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power, and I have been allowed to sit with him in the heavenly places. I have been allowed to have his compassion in my heart for the lost and the dying, for the baby in the womb, for the children that are being chicken-hawked, as it's called in the business, by perverse people, both men and women. I've seen it, I've been around it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't get how the church is so casual about it. I don't get how the church can sit in their pews and do what they do and do nothing for the world around them. Shouldn't we? And if I'm wrong, you can write me and correct me. Or share your opinion. Shouldn't that fire do something? Shouldn't that fire want you to do something? You couldn't stop the book of Acts, church. Once that fire fell in the upper room, it propelled them out into the streets in front of possibly millions of people that were still in Jerusalem for the Passover. And they were spilling out of that upper room, speaking in a prayer language, a heavenly language, and the language of the nations represented there. And it looked so ridiculous, they thought they were drunk. And then Peter, who had run, who had tried to stop the Lord, who had denied him, he's so filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, he stands up and he preaches to his Jewish brothers and sisters. He tells them they just killed the Messiah. But then he gives them the way out. And thousands of people got saved, and that church went forward in the explosive dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, and they did something. Where is that? Where is that? I don't know. I'm not seeing it. Oh, I know where it is. It's in other countries. It's not in the Western civilized nations. He's the Prince of Peace. And if I seek him, I will find him when I look for him with all of my heart. Psalm 34:14 said, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. That means I must pursue him. That means I must be in an abiding fellowship relationship with my Heavenly Father, with my Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that abiding relationship is the Spirit not just living in me, but manifesting through me in the gifts and in the fruit. And this kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power, which is what I'm talking about right here. It's not referring to the future reign of Messiah, but to the present rule and reign in the hearts of his people, the inherited power, the power that reproduces itself in a dunamis dynamic way to subject the enemy and set the captives free. Paul told the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The amplified of that section is my language and my message was not set forth in persuasive, enticing, plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, and power approved by the Spirit and the power of God operating in me, stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotion and persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, in human philosophy, but in the power of God. I've met a lot of people in 29 years of being saved. I've met a lot of people that talk a great game, but they have nothing to offer. And when the enemy shows up, they're like the hirelings that are, they're gone. They're over the fence, they're through the gate, they're out the back door, and they will give up the sheep, the flock, to the wolves in a heartbeat. I can't do that. Even if I'm outnumbered, I'm going to stand in between the flock and the wolves. So in the storm and the chaos that we see right now in the world, we need game changers, not spectators, not announcers or reporters of what's going on the supernatural battlefield. The Lord told us in Luke 11:22, when a stronger one than he comes upon him, and he's talking about coming upon Satan and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor, which he trusted, and divides his spoil. The strong man is Hasatan, it's Satan. The stronger man is Yeshua through us. You know, when he was casting out the demons, he was demonstrating that he was defeating and plundering Satan's property. He was stealing his spoil. He was invading his kingdom. So when we minister to somebody in bondage, when that bondage is broken, when that spirit is gone, when they become born again, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have plundered the kingdom of darkness. I mean, I come from a martial arts, a physical background. I've told you, a bodyguard. I've done a lot of things, some good, not so good in that regard. But I'm the kind of guy that if somebody's in danger, I don't care. I'm going to kick in that door. I'm going to go get that person out of danger. And anything that gets out of my way, woe be unto them. I feel that way now. I feel that way for the kingdom of God. And I want to know, where is that? Where is even the desire to say, brother, I will get on my knees and I will not get up until release from the Lord for you to do what you do? Maybe I can't do that. Where is the heart's cry for the lost? Where is the heart's cry for the babies that are being chopped up in the womb? Where is the heart cry for our brothers and sisters around the world that are being slaughtered for believing in Jesus of Nazareth? You know, both Matthew 12:29, Mark 3:27, the Lord says, how can he enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his goods? I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but when Yeshua was casting out demons, and the first thing he taught his disciples to do was to cast out demons, it was the third of the ministry. It was literal, tangible proof that his kingdom was greater than Satan's kingdom. That's why the enemy hates it so much. That's why the enemy has done everything he can to stop it. That's why the enemy doesn't want people to believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And somebody wrote me today, I've been discussing some stuff, that how shocked they were that churches, fellowships, or whatever that are supposed to be, that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, want nothing to do with it. That's how diabolical the enemy is. He knows he can't stop the flow from the throne room, but what he can do is stop you from accepting and letting it flow through you. Because those miracles, still present today, did not end when the last apostle died, is the manifest evidence, tangible evidence, of the power of the kingdom of God in this reality. It is the consummation that we wait for in the second coming. But right here, right now, 2017, October 25th, in Orlando and everywhere around the world, at least everywhere I've been, when my feet hit the ground and when I do what he tells me to do in the name of Jesus, I am literal evidence that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And until he comes, until he takes it all back, we are taking the ground bit by bit, place by place, town by town, house by house, person by person. We are plundering the kingdom of darkness. That chaos that they want for us, we're putting into their kingdom. But everywhere in the world we see chaos, like we saw in Las Vegas, when we see in some of these other places, it is a representation, it is evidence that there's darkness present. And that means the satanic kingdom is present. But as I've said and will always say, darkness is simply the absence of light. So if we arise and shine, we turn the fire loose, then that darkness has to retreat. Because John 3:19 tells us the condemnation for the world is that the light came and they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, I got news for them. I don't care what they like. If he tells me to expose it, I'm going to expose it. I'm going to be a beacon. I'm going to be a bonfire. I'll be as hot as he wants me to be. I'll be a nuclear reactor of the Holy Spirit's fire, if that's what it takes. He has pronounced judgment in the heavenly court on the heavenly beings that have defied him, on the watchers, on Satan, the third of his angels, on their demonic offspring. He has pronounced judgment on them because of their wickedness and what they've done. Injustice to the poor and the orphan, oppressing and withholding the rights. We have been called through his power and his name to rescue the poor and the helpless, to deliver them from the grasp of evil. And to do that, we have to wander into the darkness. To do that, we have to care more about them than we do ourselves. Because they were once called gods, but they were children of the Most High, and they will die. Like mortals, they will burn in that lake of fire for what they've done to this world and what they've done to his children. I've been paraphrasing Psalm 82. But verse 8, I'm going to say very clearly, rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for the nations belong to you. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. And the world has been deemed by him to be unstable. It is filled with profound wickedness by how people are treated. Oppression brings instability and chaos, which means anytime I see it, I know the fallen angels are behind it. They're behind the oppression. But he has judged them. The Most High God has judged the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God. So I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about what they do or what they can do. And I told them at the age of 12, before I even knew what I was saying, if I was a freshman, I was 13. I was closer to 13. I said it out loud and they didn't like it. That at the end, I would be standing there on the front line watching them be destroyed. Somebody said to me, wow, you prophesied over yourself even before you knew what you were doing. So here we are, this chaos. The world is unstable. The enemy's making its move, I believe it be its final move. It's creating the days of Noah and science and religion and technology. It's trying to put the world back the way it was before they were put into the pit and the flood came. So we are in the midst of a chaos that has never been seen before and will never be seen again, because it's going to be worse than the days of Noah, if you can imagine that. But we, you and I, no matter who you are, male or female, no matter how old or young, no matter what your physical abilities are, because it's not based upon you, it's based upon him. We, as the representatives of the kingdom of God, the duly representatives of the kingdom of God, have to be bold enough to look at that and say, peace be still. Hush in the name of Yeshua. We have to be confident. We have to be bold. We have to be undeterred. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And he and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But even having done that, you're born again, you're a new creation. You could look at all of that and say, peace be still. Hush in the name of Yeshua. But I got to be clear with you. You need to pick a side. You can't serve two masters. You'll hate one or love the other. You be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God in this world. You can't serve God in mammon. You can't serve God in darkness at the same time. Oh, you can get up on a stage. You can crank up the amplifiers. You can have the smoke and the lights and the mirrors. You can say the right words, but you can't. You can't have a foot in both worlds. But if you'll sell out, you won't have to worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life, this life, his life, more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Abba, your heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not more valuable to him than they? And which of you, by worrying or by anxiety or fret, can add a cubit to your stature? Is it going to do anything for you? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither toil nor spin. Yet even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like any one of them. So if your heavenly Father, your Abba, clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, he will much more clothe you, though you have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Because even the the Gentile, the unbelievers, they seek those things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all of it, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom first, and His righteousness, which is His way of doing and being. And then all those things will be taken together, they'll be given to you. Anxiety? Hush. Worries? Hush. Confusion? Hush. Peace. Be still in the name of Yeshua. I know it. The waves are raging. Storm clouds are gathering. You feel the boat shaking, rising. You think it's going to sink. But you see, what we feel in life is associated with our feelings, the realm of our emotions, our experiences. It has nothing to do with the reality of faith. You see, everything's under His feet. Everything. So, take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. He is in it with you. Father, in the name of Your Son, I come to You right now on behalf of Your children and myself and my family. And all those that I love. And I am asking for each and everyone listening right here, right now, Lord, You do for them what You did for the disciples in the boat. From the throne room itself, deliver an edict. I'm requesting this. Putting in a formal request. For you to look down upon their situation, down upon their bondages, down upon their brokenness, down upon what the enemy's doing to them, down upon the chaos, and from the throne room say, peace, be still, hush, muzzle yourself. And let it resonate through them. Let it resonate through their heart and their minds, their souls and their spirit. Let them feel the confidence that comes from it. Because as the darkness grows, we want to grow brighter. We want to burn hotter. We want to go and do what You asked us to go and do. So heal us, please. Deliver us, please. Provide for us, please. And if by any chance you have directed somebody to listen to this that's not in right relationship with you, maybe they made a commitment as a child. Maybe they had an emotional event somewhere and lost their way. Maybe they've never met You at all. But something has stirred inside of them and they realized, like I did 29 years ago, that I needed a Savior. Maybe they've realized they need a Savior. They need someone to deliver them from the bondage to the paranormal, to the occult, to the things of Halloween. They need to come out of the darkness into the light. They need to be restored heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. I pray right now. I pray that they would have the courage, that they would be undaunted, that they would say to You, Lord, I accept what You did for me on the cross. I make You Lord and Savior of my life. And that You would fill them with Your Spirit, that by their mouth, confession would come, the belief in their heart would trigger a transformation, maybe even on a DNA level, and that they would be born again. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.